So to set the table this morning, who we've got in here with us is earlier we, and we still have in the room with us, Psychic Andy is in here, his sister Elizabeth, our healer, also in the room. Mm-hmm. And then the gang from Prism, your turn for introductions.
Carl and Kelly, hi guys.
Hello.
Hi, happy April week.
Hi, come on up, to the microphone, there you go.
There we go.
Yes, so we've been telling some stories this morning and had some great calls.
Yeah, we were hearing some of them on the way in.
Yes.
Very cool.
So anything that you wanted to add to any of that stuff so far that we've been talking about or any experiences of your own?
Like you guys, I mean,
we've been talking about some of the afterlife or...
Yeah, I heard one of the ones on was a child, and you were talking also about the playing with your hair. You
yes.
feel like people playing with your hair. Villisca is the only place I've ever been that you walk in there and it's like the kids immediately start playing.
Now that's the Axe Murder
House.
Yeah. Over in Iowa.
And there it's been on, I know Deb Brockman has been there, and Deb Brockman, part of the Center for Intuitive Advancement, said that it's one of the most haunted places in the country and she won't go back.
Yeah.
If you guys are an investigation team. Have you investigated over at Villisca before?
Absolutely. A lot of times. And we actually have an upcoming investigation, Prism members, and hopefully Pat and JT.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
In August.
I just... Catch my breath. Okay, tell about Villisca, too, just real quick, because some people may not know what the story was.
Yep, June 10th, 1912, there were the family and two neighbor girls that were bludgeoned to death with an axe. So there was, five kids?
Yeah.
Six kids total and two adults that were killed.
They
in
never
the house.
Solved it.
Never they never solved. Solved. Never been solved.
Mm.
No.
So you say when you walk in the house, you feel like the kids are right there.
Most of the times that you go in, it's kind of a hit or miss if the kids are going to be there or if you're going to feel more of like the evil presence. Maybe not necessarily the killer, but some of the groups have come in and said maybe there's some sort of a portal in the house that is allowing other spirits to come in and out.
Now, is that something like that?
Wow.
And maybe, Andy, you guys can answer this too. Is that portal like that created because of the
horrible act?
Yeah, because of what happened there? Or is the portal there even before? Is that why this happened there?
I don't know.
Andy, could you know?
Here, I have a good question. And this, I'm not claiming to know the answer. This is just one theory that I have. I do believe that the place is haunted, but, you know, all the investigation teams and overnight stays and all the people who go in there looking to catch an EVP, their anxiety's high, they're on edge, they're scared. Do you think that over the years has created an imprint from living people's
That's a good question.
Fear, and so it builds every year and builds and builds so that everyone goes in there feels anxiety?
I absolutely believe that. We were one of the first groups in the Villisca Axe Murder House, and those first couple times that we went in, we felt it felt like it was the night of the murders. I mean, we could literally, we had EMF detectors set up in every room of the house, and you could literally follow it. It would beep in one room, and then it would go to the next, and it would go to the next. It was like the killer was going room to room. It was like a residual haunt. You could like literally see it happening. And we got at that time we got EVP saying, you know, he's gonna hurt us, Paul, you know, stuff like that. That it's a residual style haunt. We've shared that on previous episodes here.
So when you've gone back since, is it different?
It's
now?
Definitely different. Yeah. Yeah.
Now we have three of them from Villisca from before that we have some EVPs.
Okay.
And if the end of these tie into your story, we can play them here real quick. One of them is the hello or the raspy voice or the I'm in here. Any of those have to do with what you're talking about?
No.
Okay. Those are from Villisca, though.
Everything I sent you was from Villisca.
From Villisca.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
You want to play one?
Okay. Yeah, let's do that for sure. This is this one. We'll just play it, and then you can kind of describe what's going on. This is an EVP. And quickly, describe what an EVP is and how on earth we pick these up.
EVP stands for Electronic Voice Phenomena. And what we do is we set up digital recorders, and most of the time we get the best evidence just by talking amongst each other, and they just kind of want to join in. Sometimes we actually get responses to questions, but that's a goal for us to get audio recordings to be able to prove life after death in that aspect.
Okay, here we go. Here's one from Villisca.
Holy smokes!
Okay, so that's on a loop. Hearing hello?
Yeah, hello. There was not, again, that was not, like, we weren't saying, is there anybody here? Can you say hello? No, we weren't, I don't even believe we were in the house at that time. That was in the pantry of the Villisca house.
So nobody was there?
No,
just
we were
your little microphones.
Yep, just your little mics.
Do it again.
Oh my God.
Holy smokes.
That's
bad.
Freaking me out.
There's going to be another pair of underwear in the bathroom.
I got to find where Marty hit his. I'll hide mine.
Oh
Oh my gosh, let's listen to that again. That is crazy.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Okay, and this one is labeled raspy voice. What's this? Describe the situation on here. Do you know what it is?
Play it, and then okay. I'll be able to.
You can hear it in the background, yeah.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Okay, and this one, I'm in here. We'll play this one and see what, then you can describe the situation. Mind this one.
I'm in here.
What was going on in the background? Were you guys doing an investigation
at
the time?
Yeah, we were just walking around talking. And when we get EVP like that, a lot of the times that we can really justify that it's an actual legit EVP, if you hear that clicking and popping in there, a lot of times when we get our good EVPs, we hear that click, pop, or something in there, which I don't know. I mean, I don't know what scientific evidence there is with that, but.
And you talk about, and you guys, Andy and Elizabeth, talk about the spirits using electronic devices to communicate. Maybe that's them presenting themselves and being picked up on the popping or the cracking.
Well, real quick story for you. I did a gallery reading on a family at the center, and we were all connecting with one family member that they had lost. And she came through from the other side with a lot of validating messages. But the last thing that she said before we ended the reading was, I'll be messing with lights. I'll be turning lights on and off as a sign for you guys. So her cousin, the cousin of the deceased girl I was connecting with, goes into the bathroom at the center, comes out a minute later crying. And everyone's like, oh, my God, what's wrong? What's wrong? And they were happy tears because apparently when he was doing his business in the bathroom, the light turned out just 30 seconds after the message. So, and then, you know, of course, my mom and I go in there and clean up pee all over the toilet seat.
I can only imagine that scene.
It startled him, you know?
Yeah.
But we had, we had never been so happy to clean up pee in our whole life. But it was validating. So, yes,
that's awesome.
They can mess with electronics, even lights while you pee.
Gotta love being a business owner, huh?
Please, better timing next
time.
Please.
Okay, we'll take a short break and come back with Prism is in here, and we'll talk more about ghost investigations.
Yes.
And then this whole, us at Villisca? It's freaking me out. I don't know. It's like Candy and Elizabeth in here as well. And I promise, Anthony, Kelly, and Brenda, you guys are up after the break. And there's one line open. If you have a story about any experience that you had, paranormal or
please
otherwise,
share.
Absolutely. Or you can email patandjt@q985fm.com. But we'll take a break, and we'll come back and talk to Anthony first up at 962-9898. Q985 Omaha's Modern Hit Music with Pat and JT in the morning on our first ever April Ween.
Yes. And oddly, April Ween, we're sitting here going to be near 80 degrees today, but we're not going to stay that way for the rest of the week. Just saw a posting, as a matter of fact, from WW, and they said they were talking about 2 inches of rain expected with the system that's going to be coming through. Have a 30% chance of rain throughout the day today. Better chance overnight tonight and tomorrow. It's pretty much a given it's going to rain.
Great.
Yeah.
So on April Ween, 6 months until Halloween, but we're talking about everything from paranormal activity in your house, ghost stories, things that you've experienced, maybe dreams too. To set the table, like Jill said earlier, Psychic Andy and Elizabeth are here, and also Kelly and Carl from Prism, a local ghost paranormal investigation team. Were you guys, with the last few years, you know, you have the Ghost Hunters on TV, Paranormal State on TV. It seems like everybody, like people at home, like us, want to grab a recorder and they want to investigate ghosts. You guys actually have the equipment to do it. How often do you guys investigate?
In the prime, we were investigating about one investigation probably every 2 months or so of private residents. It is a hobby, so, you know, we all have full-time jobs. And so, you know, we kind of have to make it work around our schedules. But you would be amazed with how many people want investigations in their houses. We do have a lot of, so to speak, amateur ghost hunters out there, where a lot of people nowadays, after all the TV shows that have been out, they'll call us, and instead of saying, I saw a black shadow move into my kitchen, they'll say, I saw a black shadow move into my kitchen. I set up my recorder. I got somebody to tell me I'm going to kill me, and I need you to come in because I'm in a hotel now.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
See, that's way more than, in my case, because I had that bathroom that I still don't use. That I go in, I'll clean it out.
Let us in.
I know, I need to do that because I'm really curious. I have the one bathroom, in case people don't know, when I moved into my house 3.5 years ago, the bathroom in the master bedroom I won't use. And it's like
Like even to do your business? Like you don't use it for anything?
I, during the day, might. Possibly.
During the day?
Not during the night.
Why? And why is that? What happened?
It feels heavy in there. It feels claustrophobic in there. It's just something's not right in there.
But you say you want to know. You want help.
The cat goes in there all the time. And that's the other thing. I always shut the door. Somehow the door is always open. And the cat's in there. Because the cat...
And they say cats see.
Does the cat do its business in there?
No, he does not.
Okay, maybe that's why it's heavy.
If I could get him to do that, I wouldn't change a thing.
But do you really want to know? Do you really want to throw open a recorder and hear something say,
"Hello, Joe"?
I mean, do you really want that? Because you would be gone.
Gone. Yep. I'd give it to take it.
I've been watching you for 6 years.
You'd be out. So be careful. Because that's probably what you want to say is be careful what you ask for. Don't throw a recorder up unless you want to hear something say that.
That's how we got into this. You know, we lived in a haunted apartment. We had crazy things happening. We contacted David Rodriguez, who was the founder of Prism at the time, and he said, set up a recorder, but be careful what you wish for. And we're like, oh, okay. And I set up the recorder. It sounded like a herd of elephants in my kitchen at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, no, let's leave.
What's going on? Yeah.
It's scary. I always say we don't do it in our house. I don't want to know.
Is your equipment different than, say, if somebody says you set up a recorder? Something that just anybody might have in their house?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a digital voice recorder. A lot of students use it to take notes in campus style.
Sure.
Yep, that's all it is.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, we're going to go to Anthony. He's been on hold for almost 1 hour to tell his story. Anthony, we're very sorry to keep you on hold for so long, but thanks for your patience. You're on with Pat and JT.
Thank you. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Anthony?
Well, let's hear your story.
All right. It's a little weird, I think, personally.
That's okay.
We was messing around down here on 33rd Street, just up the road from 33rd and Charles area, where that little candy store looked up, Andy's and Lily's up there.
Okay. Yes.
Right across the street from that little graveyard over there.
Oh. Okay.
Well, me and a couple of friends of mine was over there horse playing and stuff like that, and the ball ran and rolled into the street. Mm-hmm. Well, I go running into the street to go grab this ball, but I turn around, I look up, and there's this white dog on the other side of the fence. And, like, it just sat there, and it just looked at me with red eyes. It had red eyes.
Ooh. Like,
oh, my gosh.
So it's pure white. It's on the other side of the fence, and it's looking at me with red eyes.
Wow.
So then that kind of discouraged me from getting the ball a little bit. So my buddy turned around because I'm like, yo, you see that dog over there? They don't see anything. They're like, quit messing around and go grab the damn ball. So, unfortunately, I go running over there to go grab the ball. Well, there's this car that's flying up the road, and it almost hit me. And if it wasn't for this dog that came through this fence and grabbed me by the back of my shirt and pulled me backwards, I would have been hit by that
You are
car.
Kidding me.
Oh, my gosh.
It sounds like that dog is your animal spirit guide. That's what it's
it was cool because it saved my life and everything.
Wow.
And I was still freaked out because I seen it run through the fence and like I did not feel it touch me or anything except it grabbed my back of my shirt and it pulled me backwards. And then everybody just looked at me like, "How did you fall or whatever?"
How'd you fall that way? Yeah.
Right, because it was like I got pulled, yanked down backwards.
Wow.
Did so other people saw the dog too?
No.
Nobody else saw the dog.
No, they just saw me get pulled out backwards.
That's one of the coolest stories I've ever heard.
That was worth an hour wait.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Anthony, that's unbelievable.
Pat, now, give him food.
I will. Here's what we'll do. We'll give you tickets to see Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. Get it? Get what I did there?
Oh, yeah.
Anthony, hold on a second. That's an awesome story.
Love it. Wow. Love it. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Holy
smokes. Let's go to Amy. Good morning, Amy. You're on with Pat and JT and Psychic Andy and Prism and Jill and Wit and everybody.
What's up? Yes, hello. Good morning.
Hi.
How are you all today?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing pretty well. I woke up today. It's a good day.
There you go.
Very true.
Batting 1,000. So, all right. So, what's your story?
I have several. Where do you want me to start?
Tell us your best one.
Yep. Best one probably occurred about 3 weeks after my grandfather died. I was 8 years old, and I don't know if it was a near-death experience or if it was a dream that I had, but I was walking down a gray, very dark hallway, and there was a doorway of light at the end of this hallway. So I walked through this doorway, and I wound up in a great hall. That's the best way I can describe it, like a an auditorium. I don't know.
Okay.
It was no seats. At one end of the hall was a light so bright I could not look at it. At the other end of the hall, it was so black, it was terrifying. There were glowing yellow eyes and little noises coming out of that end. There was like fireflies floating around the bright end. And when I walked through the doorway, I was told to follow my family line and find the last person that had died in my family. On the floor, there were sleeping bodies going from one end of the hallway to the other. And there were people walking around this great hall. And when they found the last person in their family that had died, they then went and laid down next to the body. So I'm searching for my grandfather, and I find my grandfather, and I go to lay down, and I was told, no, stop, wait. It's not your time yet. And I woke up.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
Wow.
Pretty freaky.
Intense.
Yeah. I mean, it's in the hall with the light and the little fireflies, probably orbs. I don't know. I love that stuff. Amy, thanks for calling. Okay, we're going to go to Jerry, then we'll take a short break, and then listen to some more EVP evidence from Prism and from a place that we hadn't even heard of until last year when these guys talked about the squirrel cage jail in Council Bluffs. Unbelievable stuff. Hi, Jerry. You're on with Pat and JT. What's up?
Hi, Pat and JT. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.
Up in 93, my husband passed away, and... there was a person in the house after that, and I always thought it was him.
Okay.
Well, I went to a party where Psychic Andy was, just for, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go. I liked the people who were holding the party. Well, because, you know, I didn't really believe, but I knew there was a person in my house. I mean, I wasn't afraid, but I knew this person was there. Now, when I sat down for my 15 minutes with Psychic Andy, he told me, and I didn't say anything to him, he said, the person in your house, his name is Oscar, and he was sent there by your husband to protect you.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
And do you know, I moved last August. This is really weird.
Yeah.
But... Oscar moved with me.
Oh.
Interesting.
One night, I'm laying in the bed, and he goes, oh, I finally found you.
Oh wow.
Oh, my gosh.
But
chills.
My husband
That's
was
freaky.
The nicest. Yeah, yes. But he was, you know, and it just gives me my heart well that.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did that frighten you, or were you comforted by that?
I was comforted
by
it. Yeah.
You're
but
probably
at first,
wondering.
I thought, at the other house, it was my husband.
Right.
Jerry, you are so sweet.
That's awesome. Because I was going to say, why does the husband have to send someone else? Why can't he?
Well, if a number of reasons, again, it's all individualized. You know, maybe Oscar's one of her guardian angels, and as a guardian angel, a spirit guide, it's their job to look out for us on a daily basis. You know, day in, day out, every hour of the day if needed. Whereas when our loved ones cross over, yes, they can still keep an eye on us. Yes, they can still give us signs and validation, but it's not their full-time job to keep
right.
an eye on us. Maybe Oscar is simply around you more often, and that's why your husband sent him to protect you. But
maybe the husband's protecting, Sandra Bullock, and he's like, I'm going to hire somebody else to go take care of Jerry.
He's just a stand-in bodyguard.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he found you, Jerry.
That's
because
awesome.
you're in good hands, and you're sweet as can be, too.
If I ever meet you, I want a hug, okay?
That sounds sweet.
There you go.
751 with Pat and JT. We'll take a short break and come back and take more of your phone calls, your emails. Kelly, you're up first at 962-9898. And then more EVPs from the Squirrel Cage Jail over in Council Bluffs from Prism. And again, phone lines are open at 962-9898.
You can get more of what you want at Ashley Lynn's. Right now, tan all you can for only $19.88 a month at Ashley Lynn's Tanning.
Email us, patandjt@q985fm.com, if you can't get through on the phones. It's April Ween, and that's 6 months to Halloween. So we're talking about near-death experiences. Great near-death experience story in the 6 o'clock hour. You can download the podcast at q985fm.com if you miss anything. So we're just obviously we're really excited about Halloween coming, so we can't even wait. So we're going to celebrate it today.
We haven't done this before. I don't know why we haven't thought of this before. So in any case, patandjt@q985fm.com if you'd like to drop us an email this morning mentioning Squirrel Cage, Squirrel Cage Jail. We didn't know anything about this until last year.
Yeah.
Somebody just wrote in and said, hey, guys, went to visit the Squirrel Cage with a friend one day. Was fine for a while, but then I started to feel really nauseous, and I had to leave. That's what happened to me. I started feeling nauseous. After sitting outside for about 5 minutes, I felt fine. I don't know if it was the jail or just my lunch, but it was a small experience I haven't forgotten. So, Sarah, no, it was not your lunch.
I'm just telling
you right now. That place has got the heaviest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
Kelly and Carl from PRISM, local ghost investigation team, are in studio. Give us a brief history of the Squirrel Cage Jail and why it's so special for our area. Yeah.
Okay. You haven't talked all day. Yeah. Yeah. Hold your weight here.
Oh,
come
my
on.
Goodness, don't get shy now.
You talked all the way here.
Okay.
Go ahead, Carl.
The Squirrel Cage.
Get a little bit closer to
your
microphone.
Yeah, get closer to your microphone.
Okay. Perfect.
Squirrel Cage is a very unique building. There was probably four or five of them built in the country back in the 1800s. This is one of two, I believe, that's remaining. The jail itself is pie-shaped cells. The jailer had to be up on the top floor, and he had to use a crank to crank it around till people could get out.
It's a big cylinder. It is. Big round, and then they had the cells were like pieces of pie. Yeah, so you'd spin them around to the opening.
Right.
Oh. Gosh.
And it would take, 2 hours to spin from one side to the other? So
it could. They had a fellow that had a heart attack in one of the cells, and by the time they got it cranked around, it was too late for him.
That's just crazy.
It's like such an inefficient way. I guess it's a way to control them, I guess.
They aren't getting out.
There was a lot
of people that escaped, actually. They would go through the plumbing system because the plumbing system is all hooked.
Right through the middle.
So all the toilets are hooked through the middle of each of the pie-shaped cells. Yep, so they went through the toilet. Not the cleanest way to get out, but they got out.
Yeah.
Desperate.
It was a manpower issue. That way one or two people could operate the whole jail.
Got it. Got it. So that was in commission, though, until not that long ago.
I think in the late 60s.
Yeah. That they still use that over in Council Bluffs. That's amazing. All right. So people have died over there in that jail, and it's been kind of a hotbed of activity.
Right. One thing that's kind of interesting, on the fourth floor, there's a room that's been walled off since at least the 20s or 30s. They're not sure when it was walled off. We're going to go
or
back.
Why it was walled
or
off.
Why.
Now, the fourth floor was that's
where the jailer lived.
The jailer lived on the top.
The jailer quarters, at the very top.
Very small, not enough room. So why they'd wall off one whole room, nobody knows. There's no record.
Well, are there any guesses as to why? Like, is it a safe?
Somebody thought that maybe one of the prisoners had got up there and committed suicide in the room, and due to the superstitions back in that time, that they walled that off. But that's not a known fact.
No.
Okay.
We are going to go back shortly here after I get completely healed up from my surgery. And we're filming a documentary with the jail over there, and we're going to drill a hole through the wall and run a snake camera through
that'll
and
be
see
pretty
what's
interesting.
In there. So it'll either be a Geraldo Rivera or nothing will be
the vault of Al Capone.
Or who knows, we might find bones. You know, you don't know.
Oh, yeah. That's
cool. That'd be cool. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay. Something I was just saying.
Excuse me. She raised her hand.
Go ahead.
There's so many people in here. Okay. My question is, do you think that all of these entities and these people who, ghosts, you know, the people who have passed away and who are kind of stuck, do you think they feed off of each other's energy and it gives them more strength and more power to communicate to us?
I think they feed off of us.
Okay.
I think that's where they're getting their energy from. They're feeding off of us. I mean, when we go into extremely, extremely haunted locations, I mean, you'll have the whole group of us that'll get really tired at 8 o'clock at night.
They suck it right out of you.
And
that's why you get sick and get nauseous.
I get sick every time we go. Villisca, I always get sick. And I mean, I will get to the point where I'm vomiting. I'm sick.
Does it take you a while to, like, recoup, like, a couple days after, like, your big investigation?
Yeah, yes, but I don't know how much of that is just staying up until 3 in the morning investigating.
Right. Too. Right. Yeah. True enough. Now, the jail itself, when did they open that up to the public? Do you know when they started that? Because what I was wondering is how long it sat relatively unused
and vacant
until somebody discovered this.
The city owned it for a long time, and I think it was kind of like they were going to tear it down, and then somehow they sold it to the Historical Society.
Okay.
And I don't know if that was in the 90s.
So it hasn't really, I mean, it sat vacant and empty and just sat there.
For a while.
Stewing in its own juices for about 30 years.
Just festering with ghosts.
Waiting to communicate. Go ahead, Elizabeth. Go ahead.
I have another question.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Can I go to this jail with you guys?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, and this is a perfect, nice question. Oh. You didn't even read our little notes over here.
No.
You guys went to, you investigated at Squirrel Cage last year.
Yes.
Yep, last October.
And if you guys were listening to our Halloween show last October, we played these EVPs from Squirrel Cage Jail, but we had to bring them back again this year because it seriously is the... I thought it was the most impressive EVPs I've ever heard. I don't know how it rates on your guys' scale.
Absolutely, yeah. Squirrel Cage and then the couple from Villisca are the all-time best that I've ever heard on any of the other, you know, TV shows and everything like that, too.
This jail is...
I may be a bit biased, though.
Yeah, well, maybe you are, but I trust your judgment. I want to say that the jail, when you do the tour over there, the one thing, that it's almost cruel, the jail is, the way it's set up. The isolation... cell or solitary when they want to put somebody in solitary.
Solitary is
crazy. You go downstairs and you go around the outside of the cylinder because you're still inside the building. It's like they put a round peg in a square hole, you know, so that's how the jail sits. So you're in the outside of it walking around still in the building. And then there out of nowhere is tucked a little cell, standing room only.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you literally,
stand
just...
and the cell, and you can't bend, you can't.
You can't sit. You can't sit. Nothing. Yeah.
That's the cell. That's
that probably doesn't have great energy.
I couldn't go back. I went back to it, and I walked back out.
I couldn't. I wouldn't either.
Not a lot of people can go into solitary.
Yeah. I wanted to go in and just you wanted to go in and just stand at it to see what it's like.
That used to be our joke whenever we'd go on investigations at Squirrel Cage, because we've investigated Squirrel Cage a lot of times, and if we took a new member of Prism, they'd have to stand back.
That's
there
like their rite of passage.
Yeah, the rite of passage.
You guys are all laughing behind them. So your calls this morning too. Ghost experiences, paranormal stuff. If you have questions for these guys, we're gonna play these EVPs from Squirrel Cage here in just a couple of minutes.
Yes, coming up next.
Coming up in just a few minutes. And get to your emails as well. Pat and JT at Q985FM.com. Yvonne, Joy, Kelly, and Leslie, your calls are all up after the break.
Don't
802
move.
Q985 coming right back. Q985 Omaha's modern hit music with Pat and JT in the morning. It is April Ween, celebrating 6 months until Halloween.
I know it. Halloween always been, honestly, has turned into one of our favorite shows during the year. And getting bigger and bigger, actually, it takes up almost a week now.
Mm-hmm.
and that's okay. So we decided to go with the 6 months till Halloween show, and decided too that we're going to do it pretty much just like we do the Halloween show. So we've got Psychic Andy is in the studio with us. We've also got Elizabeth is with us as well. Elizabeth. Yes. The folks from Prism too. I want to thank you guys for coming in
Problem. Thanks for having us.
Picture just got posted too up on our Facebook page.
Of all of us hanging around. I think there's an orb in the middle of a picture,
what?
Although that's a flash above Elizabeth's head. It's not really an orb, but it'd been really pretty ironic if it was an orb.
Right?
Yeah,
it's right over
that'd been pretty
head.
Cool. Yeah, it's just a flash.
Oh, okay.
We were talking before the break about Prism, and you know what? Before we do that, we've got to take some calls real quick. We've been saying this forever, and people have been on hold for a long time. Let's go to Leslie. She's been on hold for 20 minutes, and then we'll play some EVPs from the Squirrel Cage Jail, which will blow you away. Hi, Leslie. You're on with Pat and JT. What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
I'm calling about my spirited clock.
Your spirited clock?
Correct.
Okay.
My grandmother, I visited her 2 years ago in Las Vegas prior to her passing, and she gave me a clock that my grandfather had given her, and it kind of is a miniature style of grandfather clock, but it requires a battery in the back.
Okay.
Now, when she gave it to me, she said, oh, the battery's dead, and I don't even know if it works, but I took the clock anyways because it was a gift from my grandmother. She wanted me to have it, and it sits on top of my china cabinet. I've never changed the battery out of it. It's still dead. It probably has, like, that white, crusty acid jumped on it.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But, so that was 2 years ago in May, and then in that December she had passed away. Well, then that following spring, I had a client over, very spiritual woman, very religious. She was going over her daughter's senior pictures, and she kept talking about the spirit and God, this, that, and the other. That clock started ticking. Oh. And she looked up and she said, "Has that clock been ticking the whole time?" I'm like, "No, it's actually dead."
That is cool.
So after she left, it stopped. But occasionally, this clock keeps ticking.
There's no reason for it. I mean, battery's dead. It's not going to just draw power
it's
from.
Nasty.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that radio that will turn on that's not plugged in or freaky. You know, the TV.
So Leslie, what have you done? What did they do with the clock? Clock's still sitting up there?
It's still sitting up there.
Yeah.
I haven't moved it. I've not taken the battery out. It stays there. I'm not going to get rid of it. Apparently, it was meant for me to keep.
That's right.
I'm going to keep it.
And no sense in making anybody mad.
No. Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you.
Pat, bottom line, don't make anybody mad.
I was laughing because Pat just quivered and he sounded like a billy goat or something.
You know, I would have thrown that clock through the wall. Like, I would have been so scared.
You're going to throw it anyway. I know. The window.
Hi, Yvonne. You're on with Pat and JT.
Hi. I have a question, and I'd like to know if anybody else has experienced anything like this.
Sure.
But I was laying in bed asleep, and I heard this noise. And so it woke me up, and I watched this black cloud, crawl up my wall. And as it was crawling, I heard it, it was like a scratching noise, right?
Ooh.
And so I watched it crawl up my wall and then come up to my ceiling. And before I could move, it leaped on me. It attacked me.
What?
Oh.
And
I have never heard of anything like that.
I was with you up until the leaking.
It jumped on you?
It actually literally attacked me. And it actually reached out a hand and covered my mouth and half of my nose. And I couldn't hardly breathe, and I couldn't scream or anything, and I panicked for a brief second. And then I thought to myself, well, I'm not going out like this. So I started trying to fight it, and I just started screaming, "I'm not afraid of you, I'm not afraid of you." And then I started saying the Lord's Prayer, and it just, vanquished. It just, fell off me. But I was just so shaken and rattled.
That is, I've seen stories and reenactments on Saturday night on Bravo. They have those shows, whether it's celebrity ghost stories or those. I've seen of stories described like that, where it's a mist that comes in. It's very evil. But what did it feel like when it was on you? Like, was it
cold?
Scaly, wet?
Just this real heavy weight. Like, it was just like somebody was just holding me down. Something was just pinning me down and not allowing me to move.
Oh, my God.
And I just couldn't. Something just told me I'm not going out like that.
Yeah.
So what is it? And maybe Yvonne, maybe you know this, or Andy, or why? Why is it the Lord's Prayer? I mean, these things apparently are very powerful. They can go between dimensions. They jump on us. They have the power to scare us to death almost. Some of them do. Why just saying the Lord's Prayer, does it make it go away?
I think it's because of our shift in energy when we're saying something that's soothing to us.
We give it power. Right?
You know, if it's the Lord's Prayer, if it's positive thoughts. Last night I woke up in the middle of the night frustrated. I couldn't get back to sleep. I just started saying positive affirmations. When a person does that, no matter what they're saying, as long as it's positive words coming out of your mouth, it shifts our vibration, and I think it's like a broom. It just dusts the negativity right out the door. So
That's a good thing to think about, because usually I wake up in the middle of the night, and all I'm sitting there is then you hear every stinking noise that house is making.
Yeah.
You can't go back to sleep.
So if you start saying positive things.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Yvonne. That's an unbelievable story.
Wow. Very good. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling. Let's go. How about Joy? Good morning, Joy. You're on with Pat and JT.
Good morning.
Hey, and you might want to turn down your radio in the back, too.
Okay, no radio's on.
Oh, you were echoing.
Are you on a speakerphone?
Yeah.
Oh.
Can you pick up?
My computer.
Oh, it's through your computer. Okay, then I will be quiet now, and we'll see how this works.
This is all. That's all it took? Okay, go ahead, Joy.
Go ahead, Joy. Okay, well, I've seen some awfully crazy things going on in this world, and I'd have to say the worst of it would have been when I lived in Port Irwin, California. I think my first week there, I think it was my third night I was asleep, and it was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. There was this giant crash, and it sounded like somebody had fallen down the stairs with an armful of dishes. And my two roommates and I got up and went through the house, ran outside, checked the vehicles, checked the neighbor's house. We couldn't find anything. So, and this is a military post. So we called the MPs, and they said it was probably a sonic boom. Unfortunately, it didn't happen anywhere else on post, so it wouldn't have been that. And about 45 minutes later, one of my roommates had gone into the second bathroom, and a picture that had been hanging on a hook on the wall was shattered. The glass, the picture itself was destroyed.
Wow.
And there's no windows. There wasn't an earthquake. We checked the news, and we couldn't find anything on it. And, I mean, from that night on, everything just escalated. I constantly had pictures flying off the wall, and they're not on nails. They were on actually hooks that hooked into the frame. Wow. So they'd have to be picked, and they'd be right underneath the spot they were hanging. And I know there were a couple times where I'd wake up and I'd see people standing there just staring at me. It was the craziest thing I think I've ever experienced.
Wow.
That's what gets me with those things, that they just sit there and just stare at you. I mean, can't you know, they just look at you because they know it's freaking you out, I would assume, right? They're very intelligent, you guys, yes, so they just sit there and stare at you. You know, do something.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, that was freaky.
Oh, my gosh.
So, okay, so we'll finally do this. We're the Squirrel Cage Jill. We were talking about this a minute ago, and the guys from Prism are in here. And you guys, when did you gather these EVPs that we're going to listen to from Squirrel Cage?
These EVPs were in some of our first investigations at the jail.
Okay.
I think 2005 was when the foreign voice one.
Okay.
Came from.
Okay, the foreign voice one. Okay, and explain kind of the background behind this one, the foreign voice.
There's not really. I mean, we don't know what language it is.
Right.
We don't know any really background.
Yeah, that's right.
To the voice.
You're guessing Slavic of some sort.
Yeah, we're guessing Slavic of some sort, but we don't.
And
know.
What was going on in the room when you captured this voice?
We were doing a tour of the jail. At the time with the gentleman that was running the jail at that time.
Yeah, David Rodriguez was there with the jailer that did the tours, and David laid a recorder down in one of the offices.
Okay.
And then you've been there, so you know right across the hall past the stairs is the other office.
Right.
They were talking about the jail in that office, and they recorded this during their conversation.
Okay.
That's really about all the prisoner deaths that we know about. Not very many of them.
Right at the end. So that's in one room, and the people are having their talk in the other room.
Right.
That's really about all the prisoner deaths that we know about. Not very many of them.
And you hear the pop, that freaky pop that I talked about earlier.
Yes. Yeah.
So clear.
Do that again. Yeah, listen for that pop.
That's really about all the prisoner deaths that we know about. Not very many of them.
See? Isn't that crazy?
That is very freaky.
If I ever find out why it clicks, I probably could make money off of that.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Or coin some sort of catchy phrase as to what it is.
Name it.
Okay, this one says, I'm right here. What's this one about?
Oh, yeah.
What's going on when you're the I'm... Let me play it, then you can describe the backstory of it. Here we go.
This was with the... This was in October. This was with the people that won from Q98 that were there.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. That's when we were.
And she didn't. Yes. She was. She remembers them she being in the room. And she doesn't remember hearing this.
Yes,
she didn't
hear
it.
Hear anything. The high pitched voice.
And I almost think it sounds like a kid. I mean, that's kind of scary that there's kids
that
hanging out in the jail.
Yeah.
I'm right here.
How does that make you feel, Pat?
This one is the word. The laugh.
This one's the one.
Is okay. This is the laugh. You just hear this one. Oh gosh, it's like a cackle.
Are you kidding?
So explain this cackling laugh. What happened?
That it was another one of the group. It was the lady and her son that won from the radio that was investigating in this area with other members of Prism, and they were on. You can hear them in the recording. They're close to the recorder. And that sounds far away, and they didn't hear anything like that when they were there. I mean, obviously, they'd have been like,
they would have been weirded out.
This laugh is unbelievable. Oh, that is freaky.
Sounds crazy.
And it this does. Is at the jail?
That's yeah. at the jail.
Why
yep.
is there a woman's laugh at the jail? Wasn't it a there male?
Was, no, it was a co-ed jail.
Oh, okay.
It was a co-ed jail.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The women weren't in the actual pie-shaped jail okay. part. There's separate sections. And there was actually an adolescent ward as well mm-hmm. That they kind of had for delinquent teenagers as well for a time.
Yeah, just something else. Oh, my gosh.
All right, we'll take a short break and come back. Kim, Shay, Justin, and Sally at 962-9898 sharing your paranormal stories. We have Psychic Andy and Elizabeth here from the Center for Intuitive Advancement and Kelly and Carl from PRISM. More of their stories and wrapping this thing up here in the next 15, 20 minutes or so. Keep it right here. Q98.5 Omaha's Modern Hit Music with Pat and JT. 8:30. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Temperatures today probably going to end up near 80, upper 70s at the least. We're at 72 right now, though.
It's Aprilween.
Yeah, very nice. 46 tonight. Thunderstorms are expected. Good chance this afternoon. Best chance overnight and tomorrow.
You know what's funny is that on Halloween, right, you talk about, oh, my gosh, we could be getting our first snow. This is so exciting. On Aprilween, we're talking about, oh, my gosh, this could be our last snow. How exciting.
I wish we could say we already had our last snow.
Oh, me too. I don't want any more snow.
It's still in the forecast Friday. There's a possibility. It could be rain, could be snow.
Okay, so yeah. In our business, and we have... people from PRISM here, which okay. is great. You guys, thanks for coming in. Psychic Annie and Elizabeth, thanks for coming in. Mm-hmm. In our business, the worst thing possible is to say something on the radio and have your boss, it's called hotlining you, mm-hmm. and you get called in the super secret line and you get in trouble for something that you said on the radio by your boss.
And they call you right at that moment while you're still in the air.
It's the worst.
Instead of waiting until right. after the show and saying, okay, guys, come here, we got to have
the second worst thing is having your wife call you and tell you that you did something wrong. I'd rather have my boss call me all day than have your wife call you and tell you did something wrong. So I need to explain something real quick. Because it was completely misunderstood by my wife and hopefully not by anybody else. Earlier, I just asked the room. I didn't ask specifically Andy why the Lord's Prayer works in situations when these demons that are very powerful, why the Lord's Prayer works. And I need to explain this, that me as a Christian, I understand why.
But you were referencing that story.
I was referencing that story.
Because we were just talking, because the girl just had told the story and said
right.
she started to say the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
And it relieved the pressure. And you said, why did the Lord's Prayer work?
And I asked generally, in case somebody that's listening said, I wonder why saying the Lord's Prayer doesn't work.
Why
I
did it
said
work
that.
For her?
I engaged it that question so I could get an answer from somebody. So I do believe as a Christian, that'd be the first thing that I would do, would be say the Lord's Prayer, because I believe that Jesus would save me, and he better.
you put some time into the church thing. Yes. So you better have your back now.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I believe that 100%. So I didn't want to offend you by any means. If
no,
I did,
you were
I
referencing the story, Pat.
Yeah, I was referencing
it was
the story.
Just, you were just but, asking and, why did that work.
Right,
and I talked to Amy for a second on the phone, too, because I feel like she thought that you put me on the spot. And I was like, no, not at all. You know, but my thoughts, because Amy knows I'm not a churchgoer. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that, you know, for people who are Christian, mm-hmm. reading the Bible, saying the Lord's Prayer would work. Work for a
or
Buddhist,
positive affirmations, positive, as you said too, you were saying the same thing. Yeah.
You know, for a spiritual person, meditation, positive affirmations would mm-hmm. work. For a Buddhist, you know, reading some words out of their sacred text, and for a Native American, it would be sage, you know, to clean out the energy. So,
or if you're like me, you just yell at them.
Yes,
and it works.
No more.
Get away.
No more.
So if I backed you into the corner, I apologize.
No, not at all, Pat.
You did though. I took it totally as just. Yeah. As referencing the story.
Right? I was going to answer and say the same exact thing as Andy. And, you know, we're not real big churchgoers, but, you know, I think whatever, you give it power.
But this is, all right. Let this be known, though, that whatever your faith is, it's okay. Stick to it and use whatever from your faith to create positivity. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Right.
All right, let's go to Kim. Hey, Kim, you're on with Pat and JT. What's up?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Kim, go right ahead.
Okay, so a few months ago, maybe in the fall, I had started going to some of Andy and Elizabeth's classes.
Good deal.
Interested. Yeah, and was loving it. And so I started dreaming a lot more vividly. And so one night I was having a dream, so I thought. And I felt like my whole body was vibrating. I could feel this vibration. And I just got this sense of there being a spirit present. And I remember trying to protect my husband and my daughter and really trying to say, you know, I want to surround them in healing white light, protective white light, and, you know, protect us from anything that's bad. But I couldn't do it. And so it was one of those dreams where I felt awake, and I felt like I got up and went into our kitchen, and I saw this girl sitting at the table, but I could only see her from the back. I get the chills just thinking about it. And she was in like a hospital gown, and her hair was just long. It looked kind of wet or stringy. And like Elizabeth, I just started yelling at her, you need to get out of our house. You're not welcome here. You need to get out. You're not welcome here. And so after I did that, I went back to bed and was able to go back to sleep. So in the morning, I woke up and told my husband, gosh, that was such a weird dream. I don't know what that was about. And went up and woke up my daughter, and I said, you know, how did you sleep? And she said, well, I had bad dreams. And I said, well, you know, what happened? And she said, well, Mommy, there was a girl here, and she was scary. So I had her describe the girl because I started freaking out a little bit. And I said, well, what do you mean? What was she like? And she said, well, she was from the hospital, and she was scared because she cut herself, and she was just scary, and I just wanted her to leave.
Wow.
So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, kind of freaked me out. So I probably wasn't dreaming. I don't know.
I would say probably not.
Probably wasn't dreaming. Oh. I don't know. Thanks, Kim. A little too real.
Jiminy Christmas. Let's go to Shay. Good morning, Shay. You're on with Pat and JT. That's
giving me the goosebumps.
Good morning. Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Hey, Shay, let's hear it.
I have two really quick stories. The first one, when I was younger, we lived in a duplex. And the bottom story, we never had any sort of anything happen. And we moved up to the top story. And there was a little boy who would play with my mom. And he would play with the blinds, and he would hide our controller for the TV. He would never show himself to us kids, but he would sit there and play with my mom. And she told us about it, and that was one thing that always kind of gave me the chills. The other thing, I just recently moved into a house in Oakland, Iowa, and I have a almost 9-month-old baby. And he was crying when we first moved into the house, and I was having one of those mornings where I was just like, okay, I gotta get up out of bed to go take care of him. And I heard footsteps walking into his bedroom. My husband was at work, and I paid attention, was listening real close to him. Footsteps stopped in his bedroom, and he stopped crying.
Hmm. Oh, wow. Maybe it was your guardian angel saying, okay, I'll go change his diaper this time.
Wow.
Well, what happened? My husband's mom recently passed last summer, so I thought it might have been her. And my husband was home one time taking care of our son, and somebody was playing with our garage door.
Okay. Enough of that. Oh, my God.
Shay, thank you for the
Thanks
call.
Thanks for calling.
You know, and I think we had talked about guardian angels over the last, you know, numerous people have talked about guardian angels. Does everybody have the same guardian angel for their entire life, or do guardian angels move in and out? And do we ever see them?
They kind of come in and out depending on what we have going on in our life. You know, they kind of switch in and out. But you never share your guardian angel with anybody else. I mean, they're just for you.
Specific to you. You know what's interesting that I found, Pat, over the years, and I teach classes on spirit guides, but sometimes older souls, you know, people who have more complex and more difficult lifetimes, they have what I call a rotating cycle of spirit guides. So maybe they have six of them that are assigned to them, but out of the six, you know, there's different pairings. You know, there'll be different combination of these spirit guides with them during different chapters of their life. And they cycle in and out as needed. Think of them as doctors on call, okay? So they're there if you need them, but they're not always on duty.
Okay, that's a good analogy. Okay, let's talk to Sally real quick, then we'll take a break. Good morning, Sally. You're on with Pat and JT.
Hi. Okay, so this happened about 24 years ago when I was 2. No, I was 20. And to preface it, I had just gone through like my spiritual conversion, okay, to like Christianity and stuff, and mm-hmm. and I had recently gotten married, but my husband was in the military, and I was attending University of Southern California, and he was gone, deployed, and we had gone because I was also in the military. We had gone to Mardi Gras and marched in that parade because I was in the military drill team, you know, where you chuck rifles around and stuff.
Right.
And so we had flown to Louisiana and we had gone and participated in Mardi Gras and done this. Well, Mardi Gras, a lot of people think, oh, how fun that would be. But it was a really, really creepy experience for me because the streets were just full of completely drunk people and boobs everywhere. And I was just 20 and not prepared, you know, for that. And I was the only girl in the group that we went because, yeah. So So anyway, so I was like, the whole experience freaked me out. But I went home, back to LA. We flew back home, and the first night I got home, I was in my dorm room and my roommate was there, and I was in my bed and I was like thinking about the whole experience, thinking, and I had to go. I didn't have a choice. You know, it was one of those things. I was on the team and I had to go. And, I was thinking about how creepy the whole thing made me feel and how I wished I hadn't gone, you know?
Right, right.
And I was far from asleep, and my roommate was over there snoring with her boyfriend next to me. And, and I'm laying in bed, and it, like a few callers ago, a very similar thing happened to me where this total blackness entered my room and descended upon me as though like it was like weight of 1,000 pounds. And I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. I couldn't scream. I couldn't do anything. And they were screaming. It was like there were thousands of voices screaming at me, none of them identifiable. So it was just a whole bunch of voices.
Jeez.
Screaming. And I couldn't breathe. And I thought to myself, okay, something bad is about to happen. So I got to figure out something here really quick. And like I said, I just gone through this real spiritual conversion. And the first thing that came to my mind is I'm like, oh, I am so about to pray. So I just said, this is what I said in my head because I couldn't speak out loud. I said, in Jesus' name, depart. And within probably half a second, the whole thing just dissipated, and I was able to sit right up and had like this total warm feeling about me that happened.
Wow.
And I called my pastor guy the next day, and he came over and he gave me a blessing. And a similar thing had happened to his wife some years before that. And anyway, you know, I mean, I know, you know, for whatever, you know, some people have different beliefs about whatever, but just those words,
that's what it took for you.
Yeah. But you know, on these shows too, and they'll go through all this stuff of glass being broken and people being, you know, people walking up and down stairs and hauntings and all this stuff. And at the very end of the show, they'll bring in a priest and they'll bless the house. And then the little text goes on the end. They've never had any other experiences since then. So if at the beginning, when this happens, like I do every day, when something freaky happens, just cover your bases and just say, Jesus, please protect me and my family from whatever's in here. Just in case.
Anything and everything.
Yeah. Just in case. Cause you never know. And why not just do a blanket protection prayer,
right,
you know, because it works.
Just in case there's a ghost boy in the basement that wants cake.
Something, right? Which was the first call we had this morning, which set the tone for the day.
Yep, it did.
All right, we'll take a short break and come back and say goodbye to everybody from Prism and Psychic Andy and Elizabeth and take a couple more phone calls and emails. Pat and JT at Q985FM.com. Coming right back. Q985, Omaha's Modern Hit Music with Pat and JT at 852. Good morning.
Forecast is really irritating me.
Like why?
Just looking across here. Well, I'm checking all the local ones and then a couple of the national ones. And there's one showing, you know, maybe a couple inches of rain that's in the system coming our way. Another showing that it could turn over to snow. One shows York getting 9 inches of snow. Columbus getting 8 inches. That's like less than half an inch of snow on this one. But if it, you know, if there's that much rain and it does change over, it's going to be a lot of snow.
No,
I know.
When do we know? When do we find out? Like for sure when this is going to happen?
When it snows?
I'd say in about 48 hours.
About 48 hours. Okay.
We're going to know for sure. We're 72 degrees right now.
Well,
78 today.
Not going to be right now.
Whoa. Exactly. Now 46 tonight, then 50 tomorrow. The rain is supposed to start tonight. Maybe this afternoon actually. 30% chance today. Thunderstorms overnight tonight.
Sweet.
More tomorrow, and then Thursday's high. 45. See, this is where we get in trouble. Tomorrow night's low, 32. Yeah. And then 45 for a high. So it could be rain, could be snow at that point. Jeez. Tomorrow night is when we're looking at something happening.
This is insane. My wife got a sunburn yesterday out gardening all day because it was 80, and now 9 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And we'll all be in the hospital next week with pneumonia from the weather change.
Frostbite.
And a sunburn.
Can't do it. Gosh.
Sunburns, yeah.
Yeah, you can't put any clothes away. I can't turn over the closet yet. I still got the warm stuff over here, and I've got the sleeveless stuff over here. You know, and
it's a sketchy gray area.
I got my Uggs next to my flip-flops. Ready.
You have your winter hat and your bathing suit on.
Yeah. And away we go.
This today has been one of those days where the 3 hours just cruised.
Yeah, they have.
I mean, they just flew from 6 o'clock when you guys all got in here. Psychic Andy and Elizabeth, thank you guys for coming in. You're back again on Monday with Chip Coffee, right?
Chip Coffee. We'll be fresh from our show. Again, Chip Coffee, he's a world-renowned psychic medium. He's been on too many TV shows to even mention.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll be at our center this Sunday, May 5th. The noon show is sold out. There's still tickets left for the 5:30 show. To get tickets, go to intuitiveomaha.com. Also, if some of this stuff was a little heavy and dark and you need something uplifting, this Thursday at 7 o'clock at the center, I'm teaching a class called Inspiration.
$20.
$20. Yep, it will make you cry, but it will be tears of joy.
Good cry.
It'll be positivity, uplifting, inspirational stories. So,
and we will provide Kleenexes.
There you go.
Sponsored by Kleenex.
That's nice.
Unofficially.
And the guys from Prism, too. You guys, thanks for coming in today. Kind of threw it together in the last week or so, but thank you guys for coming in. And we'll see you again in October, unless we see you before then at the Velisca Murder House.
I know.
House.
I better see you at the Velisca Murder House. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Holy smoke. I'm going to have to work up to this one.
I don't know. That's
you got plenty of time to prep yourself.
And if anything, Pat has to go because...
Oh, absolutely. Because you went to Squirrel Cage.
Went to Squirrel Cage.
Yeah.
Well, Amy's my
but
biggest
fear.
But it
was light out when you went to Squirrel Cage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At some points.
Our biggest fear is leaving and having one of those things jump on our back like a backpack, and I don't want that to happen. So we would need to put
don't jump on me like a backpack when you're leaving.
I would be in constant prayer from the second I walk out of the house to when I leave. Oh, I would.
He's going to get ordained before then.
I would. That would be. Okay, so can people find you guys online from Prism? We're at
www.doyouseedeadpeople.com.
Okay.
Best website ever.
Yeah.
And our next investigation is going to be at Haunted Hollow. Mike McCormick's Haunted Hollow that you go to during Halloween season. A haunted attraction here in Omaha is actually haunted, so that'll be a fun one to check out in October. But we are going to be investigating here in the next few weeks, and we'll post all the evidence and such on our website, so stay tuned.
That's
fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you guys
very
much.
Can I say something real quick, Pat?
Yeah, you bet.
And this is just coming from my heart. Just a big heartfelt thank you to both Pat and JT, because I think without even knowing it, you guys having shows like this, you know, and more often throughout the years, you're just bringing all this to the whole Omaha area. I mean, there's
absolutely
so many people that, you know, are coming out of the woodwork with stories about ghosts and angels and the afterlife, and I think it really has opened up some doors and channels, and it has made people feel less isolated, less lost, less afraid, and it's all credit to you guys having shows like
great
this.
Great, because we were doing it purely for selfish reasons.
Right.
We were.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
You're doing accidental good. It really is doing good things.
And I love
Thank
it
you.
That these shows like 2020 and the Datelines are bringing scientists on now that they're showing their more and more evidence that their eternity does exist, and it's awesome. It's really cool to have that kind of back up the stories that we all know.
That's right.
So, well, thank you guys. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks
for coming on the show, everybody. It's 8:57 with Pat and JT. We'll take a short break. And Marty Wolf was on early this morning.
Yes.
We're going to have him coming back here in just a couple of minutes with Pat and JT. Q98.5. Keep it here.